Okay, welcome back. Hour number three. We have a jam-packed hour full of information for you to think about and to consider. Let me start out by telling you earlier today, I did receive a phone call from a medical doctor, an outstanding physician, and he related something to me about a large middle American children's hospital. I'll stop right there and welcome back Erica Kahn. Hello, Erica. Thanks for being here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Good evening, Jeff.
Okay. All right. Today, a doctor called and wanted me to be aware of the children being injected with biological weapons story. And he related to me information he had gotten from one of the largest children's hospitals in America. Now, many of you know that the formal beginning of the elementary school and high school or junior high bioweapon vaccination program began today, or Monday rather, this week. But it did actually start last Friday. There were some areas that rolled it out and began to inject little children 5 years of age and up. I think it's 5 to 11. Like this. Isn't that what it is, Erica? 5 to 11?
5 to 11, yep.
So last Friday, a lot of children got the shot. Why, in God's name, their parents allow this, I will never know. I guess you could chalk it up to ignorance. Maybe that's the best possible guess. I don't know. I would hope it's ignorance. So these children were shot up on Friday. This particular children's hospital on Saturday. Now, this was told to a medical professional. Not only had all of their equipment set up in expectation of a large number of children being transported to the hospital with heart pains, heart issues, most primarily, but they also had staff fully briefed and fully warned that they were not to talk about what was expected to happen on Saturday, the day after the injection of the biological weapon into the children's bodies. Saturday, the hospital, a children's hospital, experienced an over 200% increase in the number of emergency admissions of little children. One day later. The staff again was warned not to talk about any of this. And so far it hasn't. Now, if that's happening, I don't know about fatalities. I don't know about diagnoses. But I do know these children were sick enough, and many of them had heart issues. They were taken to the hospital. I don't know if they're out. I doubt it. And I firmly believe that this is happening all over the country now. Every day that goes by, every day that passes, that these injections are being given to these little innocent children, you're going to see the same basic thing. And don't forget about the threats to the staff to shut up. Don't forget about that. Now, these children are also, get this one, apparently, this is, I haven't vetted this, I can't guarantee it, but I was told that the children are getting the same dosage of whatever bioweapon the adults get in their arms. Think about that. A little five-year-old child, little boy, little girl, getting the same dosage of the Pfizer, the Moderna, the J&J. We don't have AZ much over here, but any of these bioweapons, they're getting the same dose as an adult. What the hell is going on? This is insanity. They're not even pretending to have a child's version, apparently. They're giving them the adult version. Anything else to add to that, Erica?
Well, in my mind, it's just further evidence for this. It's nothing more than genocide. This has never been about protecting human health or public health. It's blatant genocide at this point.
We don't have any stats on, again, the disposition, ultimately, of these child victims, and they are indeed child victims. They have been set up, and they are being, many will be sacrificed. There's no question. I had a picture up yesterday of what appeared to be about a five-year-old little boy in bed. He had had a heart attack. They called it a miniature, what was it? A mini heart attack, I think. Something like that. So these things are happening, and they're happening all over the place. And if any of you have relatives or friends or professionals in the health field that might know about this and can pass along information like that, send it here, or put it up on a social media setting. How many groups do they have, Erica, now that are out there for various
components? It's countless because there's so many people getting injured from these injectables. It's staggering. I mean, there's literally a group for every side effect.
Wow. Some of those groups have been taken down, correct? Because they got to be too popular?
Yeah, if they violate the terms of whatever social media platform, then they're gone.
Community standards. Yes, yes, yes. Right. I got it.
Right.
Now, here's the other side of that. All of these groups in social media, let's say we've got a group for tinnitus, right? All right, or whatever. They're all manner of groups. Breastfeeding moms, you name it, they got groups. Keep in mind that these groups are all penetrated with shills, if not set up and run by the deep state. I firmly believe that's a possibility. You agree?
Oh, definitely. And you can spot them. You can spot them.
Okay. We've got some examples to read to you. Here's the first one. This is from... I don't know if people put their name up there. Are we allowed to mention their name? I'll just say the first name. This is from Katrina. All right. Hey, all. And this is from a group. Hey, all. For those of you with heart and chest issues, what, if anything, have you been diagnosed with? I'm 7 months out from my second shot, and while many symptoms have resolved, I'm experiencing brand new ones. Almost like heart fluttering or irregular heartbeat. Also times where it feels like an air bubble is caught in my chest. And even sometimes like a weight is sitting on my chest. Anyone else experience anything like this? It's been going on consistently for about 6 weeks now. And it comes and it goes throughout the entire day. I just really don't want to waste my time going back to another doctor. I was having good luck with acupuncture, but this... has been sticking around, no pun intended. Any thoughts are appreciated. So what is this woman saying? She's saying she's having serious heart problems, pains, irregular heartbeat, arrhythmia. She's gone to doctors to the extent that she doesn't want to go back to any more doctors. She's had two shots, and it does amaze me at how people like this will actually still defend this, I'm going to use the word if I hate it, vaccine. They defend it. They don't want to apparently admit that the vaccine had anything to do with their problems. You've seen that, haven't you?
Yeah, so repeatedly. I mean, their belief in Big Pharma is so ingrained that they've lost all rationalization, all sense of logic.
Logic is gone. Defending the undefendable.
Seven months from the second shot, I believe she said.
Yeah.
And that kind of, well, it does contradict what Dr. Peter McCullough was saying in your interview a couple weeks ago, in that the majority of side effects are within, did he say the first few weeks?
Correct.
And then whatever comes later.
He said 14 days.
14 days, that's what I thought he said.
Yeah, he said
so
after 14 days.
Repeated examples where people are several months out now, and we're approaching a year since the initial rollout of these things, and they are still having side effects, so-called side effects. That conditions that were not present prior to the vax, so I don't know what you call those.
I don't like to even call them side effects. They're injuries. They're wounds. From these attacks on their body. Remember, these These bioweapons are designed to destroy the human blood. Now, what we're finding out, what Eric is finding out, is that there are multiple major channels of damage that we're able to trace now. And she's put all this together by extensive research. And we're way ahead of most who have been into this. They don't have the ability to do the kind of work that Erica does. And we're very proud of that and happy. And we do see our work later on, a week later, a day later, 2 days later, popping up on other programs. That's fine. Get the word out there. Never mind that nobody ever gives credit for where they derive the information. That's not important, of course. Don't credit the scientist. Makes me sick. Okay, here's another one. 2 days ago, I am emotionally drained. My youngest child has his second vax on Friday. Today, he started having sharp chest pain and couldn't breathe properly. We've been up at the hospital all day. This is a post. He's been admitted to the ward for further investigation as no signs of pericarditis were found, even though the symptoms are classic of it. We're waiting to hear if blood clots are the issue tomorrow, after the contrast scan with dye was done. He still has chest pain, which they are giving him Endone, E-N-D-O-N-E, for. I never wanted him to have this vax. I'm just praying he will be okay. Well, let me stop right there. What the hell is she talking about? I, as his parent, never wanted him to have this vax. Well, what's the obvious question? What the hell is wrong with you? Why did he get the vax? You're the parent. You're supposed to be smarter than the child. All right, I'm going on. Now, that was 2 days ago. 1 day ago, she writes, update still waiting review. Chest pain reducing in episodic occurrences. Good. Blood pressure 150 over 80. Not great. Having trouble urinating now and has to force it. Let's see what happens tomorrow. After 11 hours of being here, I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow, as normally the doctor has been. Have no clue on results of echocardiogram, as nobody will tell me anything, only the doctor can. Today, this is the third post, today. My worst nightmare, there is something wrong with his heart. It is not pumping properly. The cardiologist is reviewing him tomorrow. He is now having a full neurological review as well with scans. And they still have to work out what is happening with his inability to urinate properly. So, Erica, what do you get from this little tale, this three-part tale of this mother?
It's pitiful. I can't think of any rationalization to justify giving a child this vaccine, you know, with the known risks. I mean, the FDA panel, before they approved this for use in children, knew of these risks. They knew that the risks far outweighed any benefit, and yet they still approved it. How many kids do we know that actually got COVID, the virus, the actual virus, and suffered effects of this nature?
And what virus was that?
Right.
What do we know? We don't have a test for the goddamn virus. It doesn't exist, according to the test. It can't. The PCR does not test for COVID. It's not designed to do that.
No.
So they got no test. They've been playing games about tests for well over a year. Oh, you've got COVID. Oh, how the hell do they know? And what is COVID?
And they've already admitted, as of a couple months ago, that the PCR test is not reliable, and it's going to be replaced in December or January of this coming year with something else that's more suitable. I can't imagine what it's going to be. So by their own admission, it doesn't work, so why are we still using it?
But don't worry, Erica, because there's talk about... That's right. Don't worry. We're being told we're going to be given Marburg next, and they have already reconfigured the PCR test to detect Marburg virus. Am I correct?
Yes. So it's okay.
What's wrong with that picture?
The whole thing's ludicrous.
We're being led around, we collectively, the people, are being led around by their noses, told idiocies, complete stupid idiocies, and the sheep are buying into it. And the mother of the story I just related to you gave her son that shot. And now she's bitching and moaning, and she's obviously frightened. I understand that. But it's on her. She did it. She allowed it. She sent her child to school.
More,
go ahead.
What's more absurd is that I have read a number of reports in the same vein as this one, where despite these horrific adverse events, the child and the parent presumably are still happy that they got the vax and believe that they have some sort of protection against this deadly virus.
This non-existent, perhaps, deadly virus, which is untestable. No one's ever isolated it. So what the hell is it? We don't know. We have some theories. Erica has some excellent theories as to what it really is. There does seem to be something new that has been put out there amongst the people. It may be a flu. It may be, explain chimeric flu. It may be a chimeric virus of some kind. You were the first to bring out the idea that the body could produce chimeric viruses, organisms.
Yeah, well, essentially these people are now becoming the bioreactors for mixing various types of viruses, because we all harbor certain numbers and types of viruses naturally. And now you're introducing genes from another virus, a synthetic gene at that, and it's a fusion protein gene. So whatever viruses are living in you at the moment can acquire this genetic material. And if it's advantageous for their survival or proliferation, well, they will incorporate it into their own genome and then perpetuate themselves. And I think that's some of what we're seeing right now. And flu viruses are notorious for this because they're what's known as a segmented. They have a segmented genome. So their DNA or RNA is divided into segments that can be mixed and matched with other segments from other viruses. How convenient.
Right. How very convenient. All right, here's another one. This is from Lynn. She writes, "This is from a close friend of mine. I was chatting to a close friend last night about her beautician in Connolly, I assume that's a city or a town, who had her second Pfizer shot last week. Within 14 hours, she had collapsed at work and an ambulance was called. Before, now listen carefully, before the paramedics would even touch her, they asked if she had had the shot. When they found out she had been shot up, they fully prepared themselves with PPEs and took her to a hospital where they were greeted with doctors and nurses in full PPEs also. She was put in an isolated sterile room with a commode. She wasn't even allowed to leave that room for a toilet break. She was kept there for monitoring for 48 hours, but before they discharged her, they tried to get her to sign a disclaimer." I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to finish this in a minute. I'm going to go to Erica with this. What does that tell us when normal paramedics respond to a collapsed person, a medical emergency, and ask first if the person on the ground has had the bioweapon or the vaccine? What's that telling us? And what did they do afterward? PPE all the way. And then when they get to the hospital, nurses and doctors in full PPEs. what's going on here?
Well, they very, very obviously know that these vaccinated people are shedding something fairly serious if they're taking those types of measures. I mean, PPE, that's the gown, that's the mask, that's the gloves. You know, it's almost a, bio-level, safety level one precautions, because they don't want to be exposed to whatever these vaxxed people are shedding.
Okay, you get the idea, friends. The word is out. The word is out. Anyone who has been injected is dangerous in a professional healthcare setting. That's what you just heard. All right, the woman was kept there for monitoring for 48 hours, but before they discharged her, they tried to get her to sign a disclaimer which stated that they would give her $500 for her silence. What? She told them she wasn't signing. And then a doctor came in with a different set of paperwork that offered her $20,000 to shut up and not say anything, and stated that it was a one-off payment and she couldn't come after the government for any more if she encountered any more issues. She kicked off and advised them that she was a single mother, and if anything happened to her, $20,000 wouldn't even be close to taking care of her kids. This is happening right under our noses. Why is this not being reported? End of story. Okay, there are three for you. They're bribing patients now who take the shot and collapse and end up in the hospital, and they're wearing full PPEs, at least some of the facilities. Okay, that's part one. We're going to go to part two now. Part two is very important. Part two has to do with RNA. RNA and DNA. What are they? Can any of you actually answer that question out there? I will be willing to wager probably not, and it's not your fault. RNA and DNA sound like they're brothers, or two parts of the same general mechanism, but they're not. They're not at all the same. You need to think of DNA in the nucleus of a body cell in your body as being something, the double helix, remember? That's in the nucleus of a cell in your body. That is not RNA. That's DNA. That's your DNA. So let's take the idea of DNA and push it way off the table here for this discussion. It's not anything we're going to talk about. I don't want you to think about it when we're talking about RNA. We're going to try to make what RNA is clear for you, how it works, at least in rudimentary terms, so you'll understand when you hear RNA. It is not DNA. It has nothing to do with direct DNA. Okay? We're going to tell you what it is. We're going to tell you that it's dangerous and why. And we're going to tell you how it can spread and how it is deployed. And it is, as you know, the Pfizer and the Moderna are primarily RNA vaccines. I hate to say the word. I wince when I say it. Okay, Erica, take it away.
Okay, so the RNA is an acronym for ribonucleic acid. And for as much attention as people like to put on DNA and these injectables changing people's DNA, that's a consideration, but I think it takes too much of the attention off of the RNA. The RNA is what has the ability to modify your DNA or the expression of your DNA. So what RNA does is it's responsible for transferring information from your DNA. That's your genetic code. That's who you are. And transferring or translating it into proteins. So every cell has a job of producing protein and regulating proteins and the timing of when those proteins are produced in response to whatever's happening in the environment. And the RNA carries typically a code to produce a specific protein at a specific time for a specific purpose. The problem is that this now can be manipulated as a bioweapon. Viruses use it to overtake a cell and change the proteins that cell produces to the virus's own advantages, so it can proliferate. So the cell suffers because it's not producing its own proteins, it's producing viral proteins. So in the past few decades, they have figured out how to code RNA to produce a particular protein. It can be anything from ricin to spike proteins to whatever you want it to produce. They've mastered that ability to code for that. And now, if you can figure out a way to get it into somebody's cells, then you can hijack people's cells to produce those proteins. And that's essentially what they've done with this bioweapon. It is a strand of RNA that they figured out how to get it into your cell. They're using either the lipid nanoparticles or a vector. In this case, it's the adenoviral vector, but there's other viruses that they use for vectors as well. And because this is codes for a very, very toxic, if not lethal, protein, it's a problem. And it's even more of a problem when you consider that the way that they have synthesized this RNA, it's not the same as what your own body would produce. It does not break down the same way. In fact, it can persist, well, for a period of time, maybe indefinitely, depending on which cell and what resources that cell has to degrade it. But this is a weapon in and of itself. And we no longer need an actual virus for it to do damage. It can be totally chemically synthesized in a lab and then put into a delivery system such as a lipid nanoparticle, and then be aerosolized or injected or possibly as a contact contagion. So it's very nefarious in that regard. When it's used, it can be used as a weapon, and I believe that is exactly what we're seeing here. The fact that people are lining up to be injected with something that's going to cause them to produce a toxin that's on a level with something like ricin, which I have no compunction in calling this as lethal as ricin, the spike protein, that is. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The whole concept platform is insane.
So RNA, just keep this in mind. We call it a molecule of sorts. Yes, it's a little item. Okay, it's a little molecule. Now, when
an organic. It's made of five carbon sugar with a phosphate group attached. And yeah, so it's a chemical. It's a chemical that your body will assemble in order to express the DNA.
Okay. Now, if it's covered
in an ideal situation,
if it's covered with these nanolipids, and I want to get too far into nanolipids, which are extremely toxic in and of themselves. Keep that in mind. The nanolipids act as a barrier around, a protector around this chemical, this RNA. And they're designed to do what? How do they work?
Well, the lipid nanoparticles, the RNA all by itself is not very stable. It will degrade. So they needed to figure out a way to protect it and then get the cell to accept it. So the lipid nanoparticle, because your cells have lipids on them, on the exterior to hold right. The contents in. So this thing will fuse with a lipids on your cell membranes and then release its cargo in the interior of the cell and then dump the RNA, and the RNA immediately will be read by the ribosomes in the cell and then be translated into a protein. In this case, if we believe what they're telling us, a spike protein, a very toxic protein.
And how many and how long does the average cell continue in its production of spike proteins after the RNA is delivered? How long can that go on? Do we know? Do we have any guess?
Initially, they told us a couple hours.
Yeah.
Now, they keep adjusting it. Depends on the cell type, which cell types, become transfected with this material. There's some that are immunologically privileged, such as nerve cells, where if it gets into a nerve cell, it may persist indefinitely. They don't really know. It may be as much as 6 weeks. I think the latest I've heard is 10 weeks. I don't think that there's any definitive answer.
There may not be a definitive end. Say that again, please.
I think in some cases, such as maybe perhaps a nerve cell, it could be indefinitely.
That's what I was suggesting. Yeah. This is not good news. Now, because the RNA is designed, it's synthetic RNA, correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Correct. It's been modified. They've made some changes to it so that it will not be readily degraded by the normal cell machinery.
Okay. So it's in the cell. It's causing the creation of spike proteins, maybe indefinitely, depending upon the type of body cell. Correct so far?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, it also is my understanding that that RNA, that synthetic RNA, once it is delivered and gets into your body cell, whichever type of cell it is, whether it's a part of your circulatory system, a blood vessel, or it's a liver cell, this, you get cells everywhere, brain cells, that RNA will cause the cessation of protein production other than the spike protein. In other words, it will stop that transfected cell from producing the myriad, perhaps, a number of proteins that it normally produces to keep your body humming right along. Those proteins are now no longer being produced by that cell, just the spike protein. Yes?
Yeah, I would say yes. There's another possibility that if the cell does continue to produce its own proteins, they will be misfolded. And that's another problem.
Good. So the cell releases misfolded and misfolding proteins because they've been screwed up with this synthetic RNA, and they go into the bloodstream and they end up in the brain. And what, dear friends, what happens in the brain when proteins misfold? Can you say prion disease? Mad cow?
You got it. But there's any number of proteins in the body that can be, you know, the subject of misfolding. You've got ones in the heart. There's something like 33, 35, what they call amyloid diseases, which is essentially misfolded proteins. Proteins are not folded in their proper three-dimensional shape. They don't function the way they're supposed to, and then you get disease.
Deadly disease, often neurological disease, brain disease. You're toast. So you've got this spike protein being manufactured by the cell, caused by the RNA that was put in it, and the other proteins are either cut off or perhaps malformed to the extent that they malfunction and misfold. Do you understand how horrific these shots are? Do you know how many RNA packets, we'll call one a packet just for fun, how many RNA packets surrounded by nanolipids and PEG? Do you know how many there are in each shot? 50 trillion. And they go into your blood, and they're all over the body in moments, literally. This is so horrific. This is not anything but a refined and deployed bioweapon. There's nothing experimental about this. What's that?
I don't know any other way to look at it. The absurdity of it is incredulous.
Okay. So I hope that helps all of you understand what RNA is. It's a very simple thing. Just don't get confused with DNA. That's a whole different game. All right. Now, we've got a little video clip I'm going to play. This is another discovery made by, put together by Erica, and her research. We both saw the Dr. Martin video. I'm going to play 3 minutes of it. There's some very important things in there that probably were missed by virtually everyone who saw it. Not to put anybody down, but that's just the way people listen. There's a lot of information. They can't file it. They can't track it. So let me bring this video up. All right, here we go. This is Dr. David Martin. He's brilliant, as you know, an extraordinary presenter of information. So this is about the 15-minute mark, and we have the video up for you in headlines. So here we go. Dr. David Martin.
April of 2020, when Anthony Fauci sat in the president's Oval Office and talked about how Moderna was going to be the mysterious savior of the world, despite the fact that Moderna had never produced a safe commercial product in its entire operating history. Anybody? You remember that? What you don't remember is that in 2010, when Moderna was started, it was the 10th anniversary of the funding that actually started Moderna. And you don't know what the funding that started Moderna is because nobody talks about it. Because the funding that started Moderna was the National Science Foundation grant called, and I'm ready to deliver the bad news to you, Darwinian Chemical Systems. That's where Moderna comes from. And let's go back and take a little time machine journey, 22 years in the past. Let's jump into that grant application and let's ask the question, Darwinian Chemical Systems. Hey, Dave, why would somebody want to invent Darwinian Chemical Systems? Well, let's read it, shall we? If we open up the grant and we read the grant, it says that in a post-extinction event, anybody comfortable? You guys all good with?
Excuse me, David, what did you just say? Post-extinction event, as in ELE, which we mentioned Monday? Post-extinction? Very interesting.
Post-extinction events? In a post-extinction event, we want to see if we can get mRNA to write into DNA the code to start human evolution again.
Erica, what did he just say?
I think he's talking about an extinction event where we could possibly resurrect the human race at some point once most of it is wiped out.
That's exactly what he said. Great catch on that one. All right, we'll go back to the video.
That's the 10-year grant that started Moderna. So every fact checker at PolitiFact and Reuters and USA Today and every fact checker anywhere in the world overlooks a very inconvenient reality. The inconvenient reality is Darwinian Chemical Systems was to use RNA to write into the DNA of life. And now you're told, oh, no, Dave, that can't happen. The thing we inject doesn't write into life. Except for the fact that the 20-year funding record of the company that's actually doing it proved that that's what happened. Is anybody uncomfortable with a bioweapon known to write into life an extinction event of life? That feels uncomfortable to me. And I think if we actually went to every vaccine location and actually put up, this is not a vaccine, it's a bioweapon, and then added, by the way, this is a bioweapon formed for a post-extinction rewrite of the human genome, I think a few people would actually pause for a second and go, well, I didn't know that. I thought I was doing my patriotic duty getting my flu shot. You're not. You're actually getting a bioweapon engineered by and for post-extinction humanity.
Got it, friends? A bioweapon engineered, built, designed, refined, proven, and deployed. That's what it is. There's nothing experimental about it. Nothing at all. They know exactly what they're doing. Erica?
Yeah, it's... I mean, if you can't see it by now, I mean, if this was a legitimate vaccine that was designed to protect people and public health, it would have been pulled months ago because all of the people who have died since the rollout and all of the people who are irreparably injured, maimed, disabled, would warrant any vaccine to be pulled within, I would say within the first couple of weeks, it was obvious. So the fact that it's continuing and it's being expanded now to include children ages 5 to 11, Moderna is already testing it in infants.
Infants.
Yes. There's no other way to look at this.
I've in my own non-scientific way tried to reinterpret this, tried to find something that would give us a place to run to daylight and try to think this through and come up with some kind of, if not an antidote, some manner of at least effectively understanding it and trying to take care of our bodies better. You need to understand that you have now the distinct possibility, thanks to that paper from the Italians, which Erica found, and we did spend time Monday talking about this, that we think that this virus or viral fragment called COVID, or even the RNA, can infect bacteria. It's on the table. Yes?
Yeah, the Italians proved it, at least in vitro, and there's reason to suspect that it does also happen in vivo because the positive fecal samples that have been recovered from people with so-called COVID, it is known to replicate in bacterial cells, which makes it a really unique type of virus. I wonder, this is a bit of a concern because whatever illness is going around right now that seems to respond not to ivermectin, but more so to antibiotics, makes me wonder if that's what's happening. Has this virus now moved on to begin infecting people's microbiome, whether it's in the lungs, the nasal oral cavity, or the gut microbiome? It's doing a lot of damage, probably depending on what kind of toxins it's producing. This Italian paper mentioned that they were similar in nature to the venomous snake or snail, sea snail toxins. Those are bad. That's going to weaken a host. It's going to destroy tissues. It's bad. The other thing that needs to be looked at, and this was described in this manual from 2018 regarding biodefense in the age of synthetic biology, is that they may have unleashed something that is going to require antibiotics to deal with or overcome. And once there is enough of the population that has been on the course of antibiotics required to overcome it, they will now be particularly susceptible to other bacteria because they've wiped out their native bacteria, their beneficial native bacteria that protect them. So many people know that after a round of antibiotics, you're particularly susceptible to things like fungal infections, candida, and possibly other bacterial infections, because of the absence of the beneficial bacteria. So anybody that's taking antibiotics right now better make it a point of, once they're done with those antibiotics, putting back some good bacteria, feeding the good bacteria,
That's the bacteria in your digestion system, your digestive tract. It's about 7 pounds in the average adult. You take antibiotics for 10 days, and that is all destroyed. It's gone. So the paper she just quoted from is suggesting that if you've got a clean slate, so to speak, in other words, you have no more digestive bacteria in your system. You're wiped out. You might be vulnerable to any number of bioweapons. This is really insidiously ugly. And you must repopulate.
Yeah, it's hard to know if there's more than one weapon in play right now. It may just be this coronavirus, weaponized coronavirus that's infecting people's bacteria. It may be a mutant coronavirus because deploying a leaky vaccine, so-called vaccine, such as the one that they've deployed, that allows for infection without symptoms and puts the selective pressure on this virus to morph into something that's more transmissible and potentially more virulent,
we may be seeing that. It's hard to know because the tests are a joke. I don't think they want us to know. But it is notable that whatever's going around right now is treatable with antibiotics rather than the ivermectin or the HCQ.
Okay, now Erica has just explained some very important things. I know three people who have had whatever's going around now, and I mean we're sick on their backs, a couple of them for a matter of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, going nowhere. And I was able to help them get Allicin C, and they began to turn around within 2 days. That suggests that antibiotics, of which Allicin C is a member of that family, it's not chemically produced, is extracted from organic garlic, but it is a broad-spectrum natural antibiotic. There is a role for antibiotic activity in this current infection.
Yep.
Indeed, it is. It works. I've seen it work myself with these three people. And at first, one of them didn't want to admit there was any benefit. But then, now that person is screaming for more Allicin C. Please send it. Please, please. So, we've got another issue, and that's ivermectin. And we're going to talk in our next program more about this, and it has to do with ivermectin and its action as a parasitic cleanser, so to speak. It's an anti-parasitic. The body is home to over 130 potential parasites. You can feel just fine and have several dozen parasites which taken up residence in your body. And remember, it's not the parasite per se that causes you to be sick. It's the excretions of these parasites. They're very toxic. So we'll talk about that more next time. So don't miss that one because it's big and it explains why ivermectin doesn't work anymore in many cases. And one of the people I know who was sick was on ivermectin and was getting worse, only worse. But the Allicin C, i.e. an antibiotic, within 2 days turned that person in a whole new direction. So call it a commercial, call it whatever you want. It's just the truth. You could do the same maybe with vancomycin. And why does Dr. Zelenko start off with azithromycin in his Z-Pak? That's an antibiotic. He knows there's something going on with the digestive bacteria in your body. That's and elsewhere. And that's what the antibiotic is for. And it's quite effective, apparently. Erica,
well, and
go
it's
ahead.
Interesting that he also, you know, came up with the hydroxychloroquine, which is traditionally I use for malaria, which is an intracellular parasite. So he included both an antiparasitic, granted it was an intracellular parasitic, and also a antibiotic.
Well, he knows something that many doctors will never know. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I wasn't quite able to finish with Dr. David Martin, but you got 98% of it. So we will be back next program and cover much more about ivermectin and why it may not work, why it may work in some cases. It works. It's a double-edged sword. It's very interesting. This whole thing is very complicated. And again, I want to mention that if you go back and listen to Monday, I want to point out that the work Erica is doing is extraordinary. We are constantly, I get the feeling, feeding other programs with information. It's funny. I'm glad it's out there. That's good. But if you remember last time, I mentioned that the controlling elite refers to us as carbon units, and they refer to the program of mass depopulation as decarbonization. I mentioned that. I also mentioned the simple fact that it does appear that this planet may be in the beginning stages of terraforming, getting ready for something new, not just depopulation. Final comment, Erica, anything?
No, you've stated it well. It's the ever-shifting sands. Be vigilant.
They're doing that. All right, everyone, take care. Prepare. You still have a little time, so please don't waste it. We'll be back tomorrow night. Talk to you then.